hearing anything. I'm just saying, you know what? I told the Lakers a long time ago, if you trade my son, it'd be the worst thing you ever did. And I guarantee, they trade my son, they will never get a championship. Because what they're trying to do is be the one-hitter quitter. Trying to get all these players, okay, thinking you're going to win a championship.
You don't speak that in existence.
I'm just trying to tell you. They trying to do it like this, where they getting all these players. Ain't the players, it's the coach. You don't have the coach, you out of luck. So you can get as many players as you want. If you don't have a system, or you don't understand what you're getting ready to do, you're not going to win. I don't care, you can get everybody that's good.
So you're saying LeBron James without Lonzo cannot win a championship in Los Angeles?
LeBron James without Lonzo is not going to win a championship in L.A. I guarantee that.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. However, wherever you're listening, I just appreciate the fact that you chose to listen. Yeah, first of all, full disclosure, I stole that intro. I heard it somewhere else. It was hot. I said I'm going to make it mine. Shout out to Martin London. This is episode one of the show, which I hope will soon become the People's Champion of Podcasts. The show, Sports, Whiskey, and Earn, you know. The premise of the show is fairly obvious. I guess the name says it all. Me, your host, Earn, drinking whiskey and talking shit. I mean sports. My bad. The show will last as long as my glass does. Plain and simple. A little bit about myself for introductory purposes. Philadelphia native. Trust the process. Card-carrying member of Niners Nation. And graduate of the LeVar Ball School of Fuckery. Never lost. If you're listening, I implore you to pour yourself a cup of brown. Join me, because only alcoholics drink alone. Got a lot of content I want to cover today that I want to get into. So enough with the pleasantries. Let's get at it. It's fitting to be a sad-ass Sunday, people. Sad-ass Sunday coming up. And why is that? Obviously, football has ended. And for most men, that's a sad time. From Super Bowl Sunday to the preseason, you know, it's a sad time in our lives. Unless, of course, you're excited, you're interested in the AAF, American Alliance of Football, something like that. That's the new football league started by Bill Polian, and then the son of the dude the old ass dude that fucked up the XFL, right? You got big names in that league, like Denard Robinson, Scooby Wright, you know, Josh Huff in these streets. So if that toots your horn, then go for it. And I ain't gonna hold you. I'll probably watch. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm one of them dudes that will watch any and everything sports related. But football, real football, is done. Super Bowl is concluded. The New England Patriots are once again your champions. And I know a lot of people had issues with the Super Bowl. You know, it was a great season, great playoffs, games leading up to the Super Bowl. But the Super Bowl, for a lot of people, left a lot to be desired. Low-scoring game, defensive game. Me, I didn't have really too much of a problem with it per se. I marvel at the brilliance of Bill Belichick. And hit the schemes that he put in play in order to shut down a high-flying offense such as the St. Louis Rams. But I can understand where people are coming from. I mean, in this day and age, you expect to see what you saw with the Rams and the Chiefs, right? You want to see those 54-52 games, right? You saw that last year with Nick Foles and the Eagles taking it to the Patriots in that Super Bowl in the high-scoring affair. But we got to talk about the game a little bit. So first and foremost, let's talk about the Rams, right? A couple questions that got to be answered. And I need answers soon, right? I feel like this has been swept under the rug by a lot of people, and I'm not understanding why. Because for me, it was a major point of emphasis, right? Todd Gurley, 10 carries, right? It's no way in God's green earth that Todd Gurley should only touch the ball 10 times. It doesn't make sense. There's no logic behind it. So the only thing I can attribute it to is that Todd Gurley was not 100%. Even though Todd Gurley has said he was 100%. You know, I think he has to be lying. Because I don't think Sean McVay is that stupid. You know, I do think coaches tend to overthink things sometimes, and I can see that happening with Sean McVay sometimes. But I don't think he's that stupid to only put the ball into his best player's hands 10 times. But, you know, I guess we'll see in the upcoming seasons. Is he a prodigy or is he, you know, who we thought he was? Whatever. Brandon Cooks, right? And I know a lot of the flack that's going to go Sean McVay way. He got out-coached, which he absolutely did. But that's not that much of a surprise when we're talking about Bill Belichick. But much of my ire goes right towards Brandon Cooks. Two touchdown passes that he should have had. And I know people saying one of them was high and late. But, you know, where I'm from, you know, the way I learned how to play the game, if you touch it, you catch it. Point blank, period. So Brandon Cooks, I don't know if he's still feeling the lingering effects of when Malcolm Jenkins knocked him out of the game last Super Bowl, you know, and them ghosts came right back. But nah, you got to make both of those catches and maybe we have a different ball game. Jared Goff, if I was a Rams fan, I'd be concerned, right? Because Jared Goff has shown you he can flash at times. But he's shown you what his, and we talk about a player ceiling often. I'm talking about Jared Goff's basement. On his worst day, he is one of the worst quarterbacks I've seen in a long time. Like he's very mediocre. He's Nathan Peterman like on his worst day, which would scare somebody. Like when you have a brainchild, when you have a prodigy like Sean McVay coaching, who we believe is going to put you in the right position 95% of the time. And you're asking that other 5% of the time that you want to make a play, Jared Goff is not going to give it to you. And I would be concerned if I was a Rams fan going forward with Jared Goff as my quarterback. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to go too far. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, get rid of him, bring somebody else in. But, you know, maybe there might be something they want to think about. Now, if you are a New England hater, then you might want to mute the show. Not or fast forward. Don't cut it off. You know what I'm saying? Because I need your listens. I need your likes. You know what I'm saying? Just fast forward about 2-3 minutes. Because I'm about to gush. And I know I don't even like the New England Patriots. So what I'm about to say kind of hurts me. But it needs to be said. God damn, they good. New England is fucking good, man. I don't even know how else to say it. Greatest dynasty in NFL history. Greatest coach in NFL history. Greatest quarterback in NFL history. And if you know me, you know how hard it is for me to say that type of thing. Especially like I told you at the beginning, at the top of the show, I'm a card-carrying member of Niners Nation, you know. And all those titles were once held by my once proud franchise. Until these fucktards from up north, you know, just 17 years sustaining, consistent, excellence. It's crazy when you watch New England, right? Because they'll do things that they haven't done all season. And they'll do those things better than teams that have done them all season. And they'll take players like Kyle Van Noy, who are, you know, journeyman players, and make them into quasi-superstars. Julian Edelman, who any other team is just a guy, right? Chris Hogan, Trent Brown, like Sony Michel, who everybody, you know, it's like it's bewildering to see how Bill Belichick can get the absolute best out of every player in every situation. And then he's also ruthless at the same time, right? He'll get rid of your ass at the drop of a dime if it's what's best for the team. I don't see what made this year so interesting and so compelling, even more so, is the fact that so many sports analysts predicted the demise of the New England Patriots, right? They had us believing. They had a lot of people believing. They had a lot of people in the cuss. Oh, this is the year that the dynasty dies. Bullshit. There's a lot of sports analysts out there looking real stupid like right now. I'm looking right at you, Max Kellerman. you might want to hedge your bets next time, right? Don't go all in. Don't put your chips all into the middle of the table, brother. Especially not against the New England Patriots. I learned a long time I don't bet against the New England Patriots, man. Even if I don't like them against a team, even if I don't like them to win, that's not a bet I'm taking. I don't care about the odds. You know, I let that bet lie. So, shout outs to the New England Patriots 2019 NFL Championship. I think they got something like 12 picks this year, which is outrageous. Like, you win the Super Bowl and then you still got a plethora of picks, a plethora of opportunities to make your team even better. You would think like a team that good would have traded away all their assets and, you know, is in salary cap hell and all. The New England Patriots, they've redefined football. They've redefined football. They've redefined excellence. And I just wish my teams would follow in that model. But it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. So, whatever. Shout out to New England. I hate you. I hate New England. I hate the New England Patriots. But God damn it if I don't respect them. It's a perfect time to transition from football. Because the NBA trade deadline is upon us. Right, and we're about to start. We're at that time in a year where we're going to start getting the LeBron versus Jordan conversations, and NBA is going to take center stage. But everybody is enamored with the trade deadline, right? It's the last opportunity for your team to get better and your team to make its final push. And there were a lot of moves made. There were some moves not made, which were actually more interesting than the moves that were made. But let's talk about the moves that were made, right? So the Philadelphia 76ers, I think the big winner of all the free agency, acquired Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic, and Mike Scott. They traded Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala, Landry Shamet, and 4 picks. The Bucks and then the Toronto Raptors, of course, have the counter because it's an arms race in the East. Milwaukee acquired Nikola Mirotic from the New England Pelicans for Jason Smith and Stanley Johnson and 2 second rounders. And Toronto ultimately pried Marc Gasol from Memphis Grizzlies for Jonas Valanciunas, Delon Wright, and some other bums. The question is, with these trades, has the power shifted in the East? I think coming into the season, a lot of people had the Boston Celtics winning the East, Kyrie coming back into the fold, Gordon Hayward getting back into the rotation, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum taking that next step, along with Terry Rozier, Marquise Morris, you know, those boys. They got a stacked squad. The surprise so far has been the Milwaukee Bucks, which is crazy because they're balling, best record in the league. Greek Freak is taking center stage in the NBA, probably leading the MVP race at this point in time. And he's doing it without a bunch of superstars either. Like, he has some good, solid players. Malcolm Brogdon and those guys have some good, solid players on their teams. But for all intents and purposes, he's the only superstar on the roster. But they're playing at a high clip. And then you got the Toronto Raptors, who acquired Kawhi Leonard in the offseason, bolstering their roster now with Marc Gasol, Kyle Lowry. It's a different ball game in the East without LeBron, man. Everybody thinks they has a shot. Everybody's coming for the crown. Then, of course, like I said, the ultimate winners of the mid-season, right, trade deadline, Philadelphia 76ers, now coming with a lineup of Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, and JoJo Embiid. That's a hell of a starting five right there. God damn. I think that's like four players that's averaging over 17 currently. And I think that's the only roster in the league that has 5 starters doing such. It's going to be a tough out. When I look at the Sixers, they also got rid of Markelle Fultz, who, you know, there's not much to say about that situation. I've always said him being drafted at number one was one of the most ultimate reaches I've seen in a long time. But no, 76ers, man, I think, I don't know if, I want to hedge this. I want to hedge this because I don't want to come off. If it happens, I want to be right. But if it doesn't happen, I don't want to be wrong. I think Boston still wins the East. I think when playoff time comes, they'll hit another gear. And I also think the Boston Celtics have the best coach of the bunch. And I think ultimately that's what it will come down to, coaching. And I think that's where the Sixers lack. Not a fan of Brett Brown. I've not been shy about my dislike of Brett Brown and his offensive scheme. And I think the Sixers would be much better suited if they can get a better coach. But it's going to be interesting in the East. You got four teams that can come out of it with these trades. I personally, like I said, if you put a gun to my head and said pick one right now, it would probably be the Boston Celtics or the Milwaukee Bucks. But I would not count the Sixers out, especially with the moves that they made. Shout out to Elton Brand. I love a GM that goes all in, man. You know, why are we worried about tomorrow? We got to worry about today. You know what I'm saying? Golden State, one or two injuries, and this thing's up for grabs. You know what I'm saying? There is no clear-cut favorite outside of Golden State. So who knows what could happen? You put all your chips in the middle of the table if you're a GM. I hate GMs that, you know, want to play the long game. That's why I wasn't a fan of the process. I want to go all in, man. And that's exactly what Elton Brand has done. And I applaud him for it, man. It's a big move, big shot. He's got two players. He's traded for two players who will ultimately be free agents at the end of the season, so it could backfire. But if the Sixers make it to the championship or the Eastern Conference Finals, who cares? Who cares? It's well worth it at that point. So shout out to Elton Brand for making the moves that he has made. What else we got? Oh, the move that didn't happen. That's the most interesting thing about this whole trade deadline, you know. LeBron James tried to make a power move. And I wanted to talk about the pettiness of the New Orleans Pelicans. So LeBron James tried to make a power move. Absolute collusion. No way around it. LeBron James' employee, Rich Paul, is Anthony Davis's agent. And I want you to understand the timing of when Anthony Davis pushed for his trade or asked to be traded, right? The Lakers knew one thing, that they had to get Anthony Davis now, because if they waited to the offseason, other teams, the Knicks, the Celtics, possibly the Clippers, could possibly present better packages than the Lakers could. So Rich Paul, LeBron James' employee, lackey, whatever you want to call him, you know, got Anthony Davis to force that issue and put himself on a trade market. Now, here's where it gets interesting, right? Because LeBron James made a power move, but New Orleans, you know, showed their pettiness, right? So they said, okay, this is what we're going to do. Cool. We taking trades for Anthony Davis. Send us all your trades. So the Lakers are sending in trades, right? First, you get Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball. Oh, no response, right? All right, okay, let's add Brandon Ingram to the mix. No response. Oh, let's add Josh Hart to the list. No response. Oh, let's add a couple first-round picks. No response, right? So now LeBron James, in trying to make this power move, has alienated every player on this roster. And you saw it in the last game with LeBron James sitting on one side of the bench and everybody else is sitting on the other side of the bench. The Pacers fans are trading. LeBron's going to trade you. Ultimate petty move. And I applaud the Pelicans for it. I applaud the Pelicans. I applaud LeBron for it as well. Listen, I take no malice in LeBron trying to make this move. If he would have got it done, he probably should have won Executive of the Year. Damn an MVP. Give LeBron Executive of the Year. But sometimes you got to force the issue, and sometimes you got to take your leverage back. Okay, LeBron. This is the New Orleans Pelicans thinking is, okay, LeBron, you want to try to ruin our franchise by forcing AD out? Watch what we do to your legacy. Because if you can't make it to the playoffs, if these players don't believe in your leadership and you miss the playoffs, how you think that's going to impact your statements that you're the GOAT? Interesting. So shout out to New Orleans Pelicans. I applaud pettiness in every step of the game. So I applaud the New Orleans Pelicans for, you know, taking shots at LeBron James. Last thing I want to get into is your man, my guy, Kevin Durant. And I'm going to just let you hear what went down in his last press conference.
Something like that, and now y'all piling on me because I don't want to talk to y'all about that. I have nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. They got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come here every day, ask me about free agency, ask my teammates, my coaches, you rile up the fans about it. Y'all let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up. Grow up.
So first, let's call out the elephant in the room. Kev, bro, you can't tell somebody to grow up when you would had 6 or 7 burners accounts arguing with teenagers on Twitter, bro. You can't do it, even if you're right, even if everything you're saying is right, right? The media absolutely paints broad pictures of, or bad pictures with broad strokes of players of, based on things that they never even imply. All the time they do it, I'm with you. But you can't tell somebody to grow up where you had fake Twitter accounts arguing with 16, 17-year-olds. All right, that's the first thing. The second thing is this. You try, so LeBron James, and this comes back to LeBron James. LeBron James has mastered the art of moving the narrative, right? Like he controls his own narrative to a certain extent, right? You saw it when he tried to talk about Harrison Barnes getting traded, right? He tries to control his own narrative. And Kevin Durant has tried the same thing. But every time Kevin Durant tries, he fails miserably. I don't know who his PR dude is, but if I'm Kevin Durant, I'm hiring Marshawn Lynch. Like, you need a catchphrase that you can recite every 4 to 5 statements to, just to get people off your back. Because what this does, it doesn't work for you. Make you sound like a bitch, dog. Like, I mean, there's no other way around it. You are bitching right now. Okay, this dude wrote an article saying, you know, the trade happened in New York so that they can clear cap space for Kevin Durant. And, you know, so what? How does that impact you? How does that impact you? Are you that thin-skinned that everything with your name in it affects you to the point where you don't talk to the media for 6-7 days? That's what you get paid for. I have no sympathy for Kevin Durant on this issue. Dog, do your job. Come speak to the media. Give the PR answers that every other player gives and go about your day. Why are you worried about? You are a millionaire. You worried about a dude making 60,000, 70,000. Come on, man. You better than that. You are a superstar. You one of the top 5 players in the NBA, and you arguing with a beat writer. He's got you that flustered. And here's the thing. The craziest thing about it is this. All you really got to do is say, nah, I'm good. I'm staying in Golden State next year. I'm ready to sign this extension as soon as it's offered. And all this speculation, you know, all the rumors go by the wayside. Bro, stop bitching, man. That's the only way around. There's no other way to say it, Kev. Stop bitching, man. You're better than that. All right. Now I'm down to the last sip. Down to the last sip of my gentleman Jack. And so I'm going to give you my final thought, and then we're going to wrap this thing up for the inaugural podcast. I just wanted to jump on here and say what's up to the people. Give them a little bit of what we're going to talk about. There'll be a lot more to follow. But my final sip is this. God damn it. I want to party with Gronk, man, after a Super Bowl. I seen a video of Gronk taking a full beard to the dome, started leaking like a WWF wrestler, wipe the blood from his brow, and continue to drink. He started off with wine. He said, oh, I'm not going to get too lit. You know what I'm saying? And then he was like, Then he was like Will Ferrell old school, you know what I'm saying? I guess at the end of the day, he might have ended up streaking. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Gronk, man. If you you haven't partied unless you partied with Gronk if you're a superstar. That's the reality. And I don't know many if many of them can keep up. But that's all I got. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate you. Share, show some love. Bring it to you this once a week, maybe twice a week. At least once every Thursday. Sports, whiskey, and earn, man. Peace.